filling the air with bright and beautiful music. This is KIXI, AM and FM, Seattle.
CBS News. There may be a new military crisis brewing in Bangladesh. I'm Ann Crosman reporting on the CBS Radio Network. A report from Dhaka, Bangladesh, says fighting has broken out among various military groups in what is said to be a power struggle within the military. Up to 20 army officers are reported killed. The West German government has told all its civilians to get ready to be evacuated from Dhaka. The new fighting comes after a week of chaos in which the army chief was ousted on Monday and returned with even more power on Friday. The officer who led the unsuccessful coup has reportedly been killed. Morning news coming up.
Well, this is Beverly Sills. Did you know that of all the arts, music is the only one in which a blind person can participate freely in spite of blindness? However, even in music, the blind need special help in order to stand on an equal footing with the sighted. The Louis Braille Foundation for Blind Musicians works to promote the interests of the blind in the field of music. The foundation, a national nonprofit organization, urgently needs your financial help. The services of the Louis Braille Foundation are available to any blind person and provide auditions, evaluations and counseling, scholarship aid, paid engagements for qualified musicians, and transcription of music into Braille. The foundation depends solely on the public for its support. Send your tax-deductible gifts to the Louis Braille Foundation, 112 East 19th Street, New York, 10003. If you know a musically gifted blind person who needs help, please contact the Louis Braille Foundation at area code 212-982-7290.
A spokesman for General Motors says top company officials are not available for comment on a report that the federal government is thinking about breaking up the big company. The Associated Press quotes a government source in Washington as saying the Federal Trade Commission is urging antitrust action against the company, whose sales last year came to almost $32 billion. FTC Chairman Louis Engman is declining comment on the report, but does say, "We have a number of investigations going on." Some of the country's steelmakers are cutting their executives' paychecks because the companies are not getting as many orders as they used to. Bethlehem Steel, the second largest producer, has reduced the pay of more than 50 of its officials by 10%. National Steel has cut paychecks by 7.5% for 65 of its officers. U.S. Steel, the biggest company in the country, says it has not made any reductions yet in executive paychecks. Four candidates for the Democratic Party nomination for president got together Saturday night in Los Angeles for question and answer sessions at a regional party conference. Former Governor Terry Sanford of North Carolina says a Democratic victory next year depends on several things.
I think we've been helped if we get the right candidate, and I wouldn't limit that to just one. But if we got a candidate that can look to the future and the needs and the hopes of the people of this country and at the same time give a sense of steadiness about it, which means that he's not insensitive as Ford is to the social needs, but it means that he's sensitive also to a great deal of the waste that's been in government, then I think we can win.
Former Governor Sanford also called for full employment and a crackdown on oil companies, which he claims are motivated by profit and greed. Chairman Frank Church of the Senate Select Committee investigating the CIA says that President Ford's choice of George Bush to be new CIA director is a mistake. Bush, who is now U.S. liaison in Peking, has been active in Republican Party politics. Church says the CIA job should be a professional, nonpartisan organization. Church thinks that CIA Director William Colby, who was asked to submit his resignation, was a fall guy who had to answer for past wrongs. According to Church, Colby has been open and truthful with his committee. More news coming up.
Can a child who has everything really understand the problems of his underprivileged counterparts? I'm Lawrence Johnson for What's New in Learning, heard every Sunday over the CBS Radio Network. And tomorrow I'll tell you about a boarding school that's teaching upper-class kids what it's like to be deprived. The class doesn't just deal with present problems, but tries to make the children aware of situations that may occur in the future. Listen for tomorrow's broadcast, Learning to Do Without, on What's New in Learning, here on the CBS Radio Network.
Share a ride with a friend. Share a smile when you're round the bend. Let somebody brighten up your day.
Fred and I started riding together to save money, but that's not why we're still doing it. Nope, we just like sharing the ride and the time with a friend.
Go up every morning. Go double up going home at night. Double up every day, it's a better way. You're gonna have more fun together.
Beats driving alone.
A public service of this station, the U.S. Department of Transportation, and the Advertising Council.
Morocco's King Hassan will speak to his nation on Sunday, and he's expected to announce some new development in the Spanish Sahara crisis. Hassan has sent more than 100,000 peace marchers into the territory to claim it for Morocco. There are reports that Spain is gearing for armed resistance. The Spanish news agency says a force of 16 Spanish ships have assembled in the Canary Islands opposite the Sahara on a support mission for Spanish soldiers defending the territory. Spain's Generalissimo Franco has received 14 pints of blood following another operation to remove most of his ulcerated stomach. Franco's condition is still reported very grave. He's been holding on now for 3 weeks after a series of heart attacks. I'm Ann Crosman, CBS News.
CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Come in. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. Where do people go when they disappear? We're not talking about those folk who have every good reason and understandable motive to drop from sight. No, we mean people who were on their way somewhere and who never showed up and have never been heard of again. And the people we're talking about were solid, substantial, dependable people. A well-known judge, a famous aviatrix, a United States naval vessel, a patrol of Air Force bombers, a commercial airliner, and others too numerous to mention. What happened to them? Is there an explanation? Some say yes, and some say...
Please, don't humor me. I tell you, there's a place beneath the water.
Beneath the water?
Yes, beneath the water. Or maybe it's above the water.
Well, it can't be both.
It can be. Two different places can exist in the same spot at the same time.
Look, you've had a harrowing experience. I suggest sleep.
I need somebody to believe me. Please.
All right. I believe you.
Do you? Do you really?
Well, of course.
I was there. It's another world. A glorious world. It's utopia. Would you like to come back there with me?
Well, certainly, but for now, you just go to sleep, huh? Try to sleep.
Yes. Yes, I will. I will.
Nurse, I'm afraid her mind is gone. Completely gone.
Our mystery drama, The Triangle, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Sam Dan and stars Mercedes McCambridge. It is sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
Buick's 1976 Century Regal is the most luxurious midsize car Buick builds, but it's also got a practical side. In fact, it makes a concession to practicality that no other American midsize car does. It comes with a V6 engine, and a Buick V6 at that. Regal, it's got the spirit.
month, I noticed my oldest boy. He seemed so much older. I spent a lot of time away from home, but boy, that was a shock. He's growing up without me. I figured if I was going to have any influence in his life at all, I'd better start now. So I set aside one night a week. And each week I take a different child and we go and do whatever they want. And you know, it's amazing what it's done for the kids. And me.
Give your children everything. Give them your time. A thought from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. The Mormons.
Army infantryman, you have to own more than a good pair of boots.
Go!
You have to own the nerve to rappel from a helicopter and the stamina to survive in the wilderness. You need the savvy to find water where it hasn't rained, food where you can't see any, and your way home where the stars are your only roadmap. You also need the skill to turn ropes into bridges, ponchos into rafts, and personnel carriers on a dime. Infantry in today's army isn't easy, but then hardly anything worthwhile is.
Join the people who join the army. You could start building your tomorrows today. Join the people who join the army. You could go a long, long way.
For information, call 800-523-5000 toll free. Join the people who join the army.
It is a rather well-defined area in the Atlantic Ocean. It is shaped like an isosceles triangle. At one point lies Miami, at the second, Puerto Rico, and at the third, Bermuda. And for that reason, it is known as the Bermuda Triangle. Over the years, at least 100 planes and ships and over 1,000 people have disappeared into its depths without leaving a trace. And for reasons that have never been satisfactorily explained.
Hello there, Miami. This is your routine check from American International Flight 7, old Lucky 7, inbound from dear old London. We're now 215 nautical miles from your first outer marker, bearing 090. Speed... hold it. Hey, Mark, what's that vibration? Mark, that vibration? Hey, Miami... Miami, our position is... The compass is going crazy. It's spinning like a top. We're going down. Pull up, Mark. Mark, help me pull up. We're going down. Miami! I don't know what's wrong. We're being pulled down. Something is pulling us down.
We don't have to hear the tape again, Lieutenant. I'm very much afraid, Pete, that we'll just have to chalk this one up. There were 110 people aboard that plane, and we'll just have to...
Oh, excuse me, sir. Admiral Ingram's headquarters, Lieutenant Nelson. One moment, sir. It's Commander Bates.
Yeah, you know what he wants, don't you? He wants to know if I'm ready to release the word.
Will you talk to him, sir?
I'll call him back.
Okay. The Admiral will call you back, sir. Are you ready to call off the search, sir?
Damn it. 110 people.
Yes, sir.
We knew his bearing. We could practically pinpoint his location. We combed that area as much as you can hope to comb water for 5 whole days. We organized the greatest peacetime assemblage of ships, planes, and men.
Yes, sir.
Don't interrupt me, will you, Pete? I have to keep saying these things to square my own conscience.
I understand.
Oh, don't be so damn understanding, Lieutenant. Fight with me. Argue with me. Convince me there's something else I can do. Another approach, another tack, another... plan of action.
Admiral, you know those stories in the papers on the air about the Bermuda Triangle? How planes and ships disappear?
I know, it's all nonsense.
Well, you heard the pilot. The plane was just pulled down from the sky.
A sudden electrical disturbance can account for practically anything. That's public relations. I'll talk to them.
Lieutenant Nelson.
What?
Repeat that. Yes. Yes, the Admiral will leave at once. Sir, it's unbelievable.
Don't editorialize, Lieutenant. Just report.
Yes, sir. They have a survivor.
That's impossible.
A young woman.
No one could survive 5 days in the water.
But they've got her, sir. She's aboard the carrier.
Lieutenant!
Miss Roberts, I'm Admiral Ingram. This is Lieutenant Nelson. The doctor said you could talk to us.
Yes.
It must have been a harrowing experience.
I'm all right.
Yes, I see that. Miss Roberts, you know you're the sole survivor.
That's what I've been told.
Can you tell us what happened?
I don't know what happened.
Well, surely you can remember something.
I don't remember anything.
Yes, well, perhaps this isn't a good time to talk to
you. No, that doesn't matter. I just can't tell you anything.
Miss Roberts, your plane went down 5 days ago.
Yes, according to the calendar.
And you were just picked out of the water this morning.
Yes.
And you claim to be Judy Roberts.
I am Judy Roberts.
The Judy Roberts, who was a passenger aboard American International Flight 7 from London to Miami on June the 15th.
Yes.
Admiral, may I talk to you a moment? How could she live 5 days in that shark-infested sea?
Well, she was lucky.
She could survive without food, without water?
Obviously.
Why doesn't she look it? Why isn't she all shriveled up and dehydrated? Why isn't her skin burned and raw? Why isn't she hysterical or delirious? She looks as if she just stepped out of a heated swimming pool at a country club.
Yes, I thought of that, too. We sent her fingerprints for confirmation. We checked out her teeth with a dentist. She's Judy Roberts.
Miss Roberts, why won't you tell us what happened?
I told you I don't remember.
Well, could you tell us everything you do remember?
I was sitting in my seat. I'd fallen asleep.
Yes?
And I was conscious of a loud roaring sound. I don't know if I was still asleep or awake. I had the frightening feeling that I was falling, that the plane was out of control. And then I must have fainted, because the very next thing I knew, I was here in this bed, and I was told that I'd been rescued after 5 days in the water, and I'm now on an aircraft carrier.
And that's all you know?
That's all I know.
You have no memory of the crash?
No.
You remember how you got out of the plane?
No.
The life belt you were wearing, do you remember inflating it, putting it on?
No.
Well, how about the 5 days you spent in the water?
I don't remember being in the water.
Miss Roberts, look, may I say something?
Yes, if you like.
We have three possibilities here. First, you're not Judy Roberts.
I am Judy Roberts.
Second, you never got on the plane.
I was on the plane. The ticket man at the gate would remember me because I almost missed it, and they held it for me. He put me on board himself. And besides, if I wasn't on that plane, how did I wind up in the water? What's your third possibility?
You're lying.
About what?
You didn't spend 5 days in the water.
Well, where did I spend them?
You tell me.
I told you. I don't remember.
Miss Roberts, it is vital for us to know what happened. Were there any strange noises?
There was just this roaring sound.
What kind of roar?
Oh, it sounded like the engines.
But look, how did you survive so long in the water? Surely we can learn something from that.
I told you I don't remember being in the water.
Well, you don't look as if you've been in the water for 5 days.
Well, that's where your helicopter pilot found me. Now, Lieutenant, if you have no other questions, I would like to rest for a while.
Pete, she didn't spend 5 days swimming in the water.
Would the Admiral know how she spent them?
She was floating in the water.
On what?
Her seat was just to the rear of the galley. A portion of it probably broke off and afforded her a kind of raft. The portion may have contained food and canned drinks. She could have had blankets to shield her from the sun.
Sir, how does it happen that this so-called raft was never spotted?
Well, Lieutenant Miller, who sighted her, says his attention was attracted at first by something shiny that looked like a painted part of a fuselage.
Why wasn't it there when he arrived?
Well, it probably sunk.
Yes, sir. It keeps itself and Miss Roberts afloat for 5 days and suddenly sinks just when rescue comes.
Pete, it didn't have to sink suddenly. It may have been sinking slowly all those 5 days and finally went under just before Miller got there.
Yes, sir.
Now, Pete, You had raised an excellent question about her physical condition, and we've just been able to account for it. So why aren't you satisfied?
Why doesn't she remember any of this?
Because, as the doctors explained it, it was such a terrible experience, she wants to forget it.
Come in.
Oh, Miss Roberts, I'm sorry to bother you.
Then why do you?
I don't know, but I wish I could believe your story.
Lieutenant, it doesn't matter to me whether you do or not.
No, I don't believe that either. Because it does matter. You're a girl who's, well, quite sensitive to the opinions of other people.
Oh, how would you know?
I understand you're 32 years old. You live with and support your mother. That tells me something right there.
What?
Well, when an unusually pretty girl still lives at home after she's...
Really, I don't think that should concern you.
That's true. I learned also that you're shy, you don't have many friends, and this 10-day trip to London was your first vacation in years. Oh, did you have a good time, incidentally?
Oh, yes.
I'll bet you didn't.
Now, really, Lieutenant, I'm grateful to the Navy for saving my life, but do I have to submit to cross-examination? As if I have guilty knowledge?
You'll be leaving us in just a few hours. Judy, tell me, where did you spend the last 5 days?
In the water.
I just can't believe it.
Well, do you believe that the plane went down?
It had to go down.
Then where else could I have been?
I can't believe you were in the water.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, too. I'm sorry for you.
Why?
Your troubles are about to begin.
Well, I've just been rescued. My troubles are over.
Judy, do you realize you are the sole survivor? You are, aren't you?
Yes.
Well, you'll find out what that can mean the hard way. You'll be surrounded, hounded, badgered, not just by the press. Oh, they'll drop you soon enough. After all, tomorrow you'll be just yesterday's news. But by friends, the relatives, the loved ones of the other passengers. Did you see my husband? What happened to my wife? Is my daughter really dead? How did you survive?
Well, I won't know the answers to any of those questions.
People won't believe you.
Well, they'll just have to...
For years to come, no one will let you alone.
Well, there's nothing I can say to anyone.
There were 109 other lives on that plane besides yours.
Oh. I didn't think of that.
You didn't think of that?
Until just now, I thought I'd just...
You would just what?
Well, that I'd just... say nothing.
Judy, what do you know?
Well, now I realize I can't let those people go on grieving. I'll simply have to tell them, because at least they'll be comforted.
Why didn't you tell us the truth in the first place?
Because I was afraid no one would believe me. But that doesn't matter now, because I have no choice. I've got to tell the world exactly what happened. It began when we'd just flown high over Bermuda.
Well, properly speaking, it will begin when I shall return with Act Two in just a few moments. Some of you strict constructionists might grumble, why couldn't she tell it to us in the beginning of Act One? To which I have but one answer. It's her story, and she's telling it in her own way. But however it's told, I assure you, it's well worth waiting for.
This is our favorite restaurant, Phyllis. What's the occasion?
I have something very important to tell you, Brad.
Oh, no.
This is the hardest thing I've had to do in my life.
Oh, no, Phil.
Believe me, it's the best for both of us.
You met Mom and everything, huh?
Well, you know how you've always resented my being witty and bright and urbane, Brad?
I don't anymore.
And how stupid you felt because I was so well-briefed in the daily events that affect our lives.
I loved it. I love stupid.
Well, I know how it must be resolved.
Don't say it, Phil.
Yes, I'm giving up Time Magazine.
Oh, what?
Yes, Brad. Time and time alone gave me the je ne sais quoi that you never approached.
Time?
I flew to it each week and filled my cup from the depths of its lively literary basin.
Time magazine?
I've been without it a week already.
Time, the weekly news magazine?
Ask me what's going on in business, medicine, religion, art, or education.
What's going on?
I don't know. I haven't the faintest idea.
Oh, Phyllis, you mean...
Yes, without time, I'm the same empty-headed boob you are.
Oh, I do love you.
You know what time does, and reading it every week reminds you how well.
There's more to poverty than not having money.
It means you're hungry. It seems like everything you do is defeated before you ever start, you know. We can't sit and make a decision. Someone else makes our decisions for us.
And if money is not the whole problem, then it's not the whole solution either. That takes time, ideas, and most important, it takes people. Working together to determine their own needs, to solve their own problems.
That's right, people helping people and helping themselves at the same time.
People helping people. People helping themselves. Not the whole answer, but it's a good start.
It certainly proves the point that if you stick together, you get places.
The Campaign for Human Development. The United States Catholic Conference.
It isn't easy to be a survivor, especially a lone survivor, the only one left alive where 109 others have perished. Or have they perished? Has Judy Roberts successfully survived a disaster which took the lives of everyone else on the plane? Well, obviously she has, because she's here. How could she have kept alive for 5 days in shark-infested waters? At first, Judy says she can't remember. But now, miraculously, she can.
We had just flown high over Bermuda, and the pilot's voice came over the PA system.
This is Captain Moss again. We're now flying over the Bermuda Triangle. For more than 100 years, a graveyard for hundreds of ships and planes. Why did they disappear here? Who knows? Are the reasons supernatural, extraterrestrial? Your guess is as good as mine. I've flown this patch of ocean 1,000 times, and I think it's all just an old wives' tale. I just mention it because folks talk about it, and the next time somebody does, you can say, I actually flew over it and nothing happened.
He went
to me.
On and on, now, among the just talking planes, about it, and I must have fallen asleep again. And then I wasn't sure. You know how it is in a dream sometimes? You have visions of falling, and it's also real. But I knew that I was falling, and I woke up, and there was this terrible roar, and I looked out the window, and we were on the water. We were on the water. We must have come down and crashed, but nothing was broken. Nobody was hurt. Everybody seemed paralyzed. And then there was a voice, a woman's voice. It was very soft, very sweet, and it said, welcome home. Welcome home again to all of you. I didn't know what to think. Were we dead? Were we all killed in the crash? Was this heaven? And then the voice said, my name is Aura. I'm your guide. Please don't be frightened. Everything is fine. In just a moment or two, you will adjust. You will resume your natural, normal lives as citizens of the city. Everything you think you feel now, all the ties that bind you to the illusory world you've just left, will disappear. You are coming home. Home where you belong. I looked out the window. A bright sun was shining in a deep blue sky. We were somewhere. I didn't know where. It seemed to be a large, lovely park. And there were beautiful pastel-colored buildings. Oh, what a city. What a glorious city.
The trip is over. The fantasy ride is over.
Then all around me, people were getting up, laughing and smiling and talking. I sat in my seat. I didn't know what to do, what to think. Was it all a dream? Finally, everyone had left the plane. I was all alone. What should I do?
Why are you still sitting here, my dear?
I don't know.
The fantasy trip is over.
Where am I? Who are you?
You're home.
Oh, no, please, I'm not home. My name is Judy Roberts. I live in Miami, Florida.
The flight must have had a very traumatic effect on you.
What happened to us? We were just an hour out of Miami, and the plane went down.
Oh, the plane, as you call it, has come home, my dear.
Why did everybody just get up and leave?
What else are they supposed to do? It's over.
But the plane crashed. It fell into the sea. I know.
No, my dear, calm yourself.
No, I'm not crazy. I know what happened. Everybody else is crazy.
You're very upset. Here, drink this. You'll feel better. You're the very first person who went on a fantasy tour and simply cannot seem to snap out of it.
Please, will you humor me? Tell me who I'm supposed to be.
My dear, you're a citizen of our city.
What city?
The city. The city of the people.
Which people?
The people. Your people.
Who am I?
Your name is Ella.
Where's my mother?
Your mother? There's no record of your having a mother. Oh, dear. Arda, please come in.
Hello, Ella, darling.
Well, you're our pilot. You're Captain Moss.
Darling, what are you saying?
You're our pilot. The pilot on Flight 7. American International Airlines, Flight 7, London, Miami. We crashed. We went down.
Oh, no.
Well, why doesn't he remember? Why doesn't he?
Because it never happened.
Oh, you are Captain Moss.
My dear, you're ill.
What have you done to us? Who are you?
Arda, will you watch over her?
Of course. I love her.
Let me know if she isn't feeling better. I'll look in on you soon again.
Captain Moss, how did it happen? How did all this happen?
Listen, Ella.
No, my name isn't Ella. And you listen. You're an airline pilot, and I'm a secretary. I live in Miami.
Miami?
Yes, please. Now let me talk. We were somewhere between Bermuda and Miami when the plane suddenly went down. It crashed. I don't know why it wasn't destroyed. I don't know why we weren't all killed.
Well, it must have been part of the fantasy.
But everybody on the plane began acting so strangely, as if they didn't know who they really were. As if they were other people. And you yourself, you think that you're somebody else. But you're the pilot, you're Captain Moss. Who are these people who have seemed to have captured us?
No more fantasy trips for you, my sweet.
Oh, I can't seem to reach you. Don't you remember?
Oh, what a beautiful day. Let's take a stroll. The sun, the air, it'll clear your head.
Isn't anybody going to be worried about you? I know my mother will be frantic.
I didn't know you had a mother. You never spoke about her. Tell me more. But not here. In the park. Lovely, how happy everybody is. In all of the universe, is there a city like ours?
I wish somehow I could get through to you.
Oh, look, see the people. Every face here is happy, except yours.
I must know what has happened to me.
We're so fortunate. We have no hunger, no poverty, no disease. Now, I have an impression from some of the fantasy trips that there are other worlds not as lucky as ours.
Captain Moss.
Why do you call me Captain Moss? My name is Arda. You chose it.
I chose it.
When we told Aura we wished to become betrothed, she told us to name each other. I chose Ella for you. You selected Arda for me.
You really believe... believe all this.
You've forgotten. We chose each other. We're in love, Alice.
But I don't... I'm not...
Hey, hey, you're trembling. Oh, my dearest. Let me hold you.
Why aren't we in the water? Why aren't we drowned?
No, no, my darling. Everything's all right. I'm here. You have nothing to worry about.
Oh, I don't know what to think.
Hey, look. It's starting to rain. Let's go to the museum. Hurry. Hurry. I don't want you to get wet. Isn't this museum a wonderful place? I see the people with their children. One day we'll come here with little ones, too.
Captain Moss, listen to me. I am Judy Roberts. I am a secretary.
What's that?
I take dictation. I type letters. I file correspondence.
Why?
So that the business can go on.
Business? What's business?
Well, business has to do with... Oh, please don't make fun of me.
No, what is business?
Oh, how can I explain this?
If you have to explain it, it can't be very good.
Well, everybody works for one business or another.
Why?
To make money.
What's money?
Oh, you can't be serious.
Now, please, my dear, I'm just...
Money is what you must have in order to buy things.
What sort of things?
What sort of things? Well, every sort of thing is food and clothes and whatever you need, whatever you want.
But suppose you have no money.
Well, then you do without.
How can a person do without food? I don't understand.
Well, what do you do here?
I paint pictures. I bring them to the museum. People come here and enjoy them. My brother is a farmer. He raises fruit. He brings it to the plaza. People see it. They eat. They enjoy it.
But how do things get done? How do you build houses?
Everyone does what he knows how to do and shares with everyone.
Well, suppose someone takes more than his share.
I don't understand. Why would he want to do that?
Oh. This must be utopia. Oh, why am I fighting this?
Why indeed? Is there a better place? A happier place than our city?
Wait a minute. There. In that huge space. What's in there?
Oh, that's the fantasy exhibit.
The fantasy exhibit?
Yes. Artifacts from fantasy trips.
Look. Those are ships. And planes.
Well, that's what you want to call them.
Look at that ship. That's a naval vessel.
A what?
Yes, you can read the name. The USS Cyclops. It's a Navy ship. It disappeared in the Bermuda Triangle.
The Bermuda Triangle?
Yes, you know what it is. You spoke to us about it on the intercom before we crashed.
Now, my darling,
and
you have...
See. Those Navy planes. Those five old-fashioned Navy planes. You even said what they were. Torpedo bombers. And that freighter. You even told us her name. The Marine Sulphur Queen. No. It's no fantasy. Those are real... And I'm real. And you are real. What are we doing here? What is this place? No, Laura, no. Don't tell me that again. I don't believe it. I'm not a native of this place who happens to be having hallucinations.
Very well, my dear. Suppose you tell me who you are.
There's a place in the Atlantic called the Bermuda Triangle. Ships and planes disappear into it.
I see.
But the ships and the planes are not destroyed. Somehow they pass into another world, this world. And when they do, everybody on board changes somehow. Something happens to their minds. Or you do something to their minds, which makes them believe that they belong here and they forget who they were back on Earth. Is that true? you're telling the story.
That's what happened to the passengers and the crew of flight number 7. To all of them. All of them except me. My mind didn't undergo any changes.
Oh, yes, I see that now.
Oh, then you admit it. Oh,
yes. Look, we wish you no harm, only good. And now that you're here, I'm afraid you must stay.
Well, in all matters of this kind, getting out is always more difficult than getting in. However, considering the way the place is set up, why should she even want to leave? You realize, of course, that she does manage to get back here, because back here is where we first met her. How? For that, you must wait my return in just a few moments with Act 3.
In case you've forgotten how much fun driving can be, Buick would like to introduce you to Skylark, a small car that's all Buick, with room, comfort, and an engine that no other compact car in America offers, the incredible Buick V6. Skylark, it's free spirit made practical.
Where do you keep your guns? In a drawer? Closet? In a rack on the wall? Every day across the country, crimes are committed with stolen guns. Stolen because simple security precautions were not taken by someone. When possible, lock your guns in place. Run a steel strap or chain through the trigger guards of rifles and handguns. And if your guns are stolen, notify the police immediately. This is Chuck Connors for the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms. Remember, your stolen gun threatens everyone.
For hundreds of years, alcoholic men and women have been scolded, denounced, beaten, lashed, pilloried, dunked, jailed, and of course threatened with eternal damnation. There is no evidence that any of these treatments ever resulted in a single cure. Why not? Simply because alcoholism is not a crime. It is not a moral weakness. It is an illness that can be treated successfully. What's more, alcoholism can often be prevented before it develops if we learn to recognize the early signs of drinking problems. After all these years, there ought to be better ways to treat alcoholism than punishing the alcoholic person. And of course, there are. For information or help, write Box 2345, Rockville, Maryland.
This message is a public service by this station and the National Institute on Alcohol Abuse and Alcoholism.
There's an area in the Atlantic known as the Bermuda Triangle. And why ships and planes disappear there is anyone's guess. What you're listening to now is the story being told by Judy Roberts, sole survivor of a plane that disappeared over the Triangle. And she insists that it's a gateway to another world, a world she has become desperate to leave.
Please, I must go back.
I'm sorry. It can't be done.
Well, you brought me here. Why can't you send me back?
Well, we've never tried it before. No one has ever asked to leave.
I must go back.
Why? Look at what you have here. Peace, plenty. It's a paradise.
Yes.
And most important, love. Who loves you? What man loves you back in your other world?
No one.
Here? Arda. Very well, I should call him Captain Moss. He loves you, and you love him.
I don't know.
You fell in love with each other on the plane. Neither of you knew it. Had you gone on to land in Miami, you would have parted forever. We could feel this love. That's why we brought down your plane, so that your love could live.
Are you saying that you brought down a plane? 110 people just because of me and the pilot?
Oh, where will you find a better reason than love?
But the people, the other people.
They will be happier here, too.
No, I can't stay. I can't. My mother, she's old.
Oh, not that old.
And she's ill, and she needs me.
So does Captain Moss.
Well, if I could forget
the way all the others did. It would be right for me to stay, but I can't forget. I can't. Whatever it is you do to us, whatever it is you use, it doesn't seem to work with me. And as long as I know who I am, I can't be happy here.
In time, perhaps.
No, no. Don't take that chance.
A chance?
For your own sake. Every face I see here is smiling. But my face would be the different one. Everybody here is happy. I'm sad. Perhaps I would introduce this unhappiness, this sadness, this discontent into your city. Perhaps because of me, there would be trouble.
If you go back, you will live to regret your decision.
Oh, I regret it already. But please, please let me go back.
Oh, my dear.
Please, please. Even if I'm wrong, I can't help it. That's me. That's how I am.
Very well.
You see, Lieutenant, there's some kind of thing, a space, a tunnel, whatever, I can't say, between the worlds. And they took me to it. And then when they saw a helicopter off in the distance, they knew that I'd be safe. So they just sent me back. And that is what happened. Well, Lieutenant Nelson, can't you say anything?
Wow.
Is that all you can say?
No. No, I can say this. Stick with your first story.
Which story?
The one where you just don't remember anything.
But I'm telling you the truth.
You'll never get it to fly.
Don't you believe me?
Please, don't put me on the spot.
Tell me.
It doesn't matter. The problem is, look, if you tell that story, people are going to insist you're a nut.
But it's true.
Well, I won't help you. Look, I was wrong. You were telling the truth the first time when you said you couldn't remember.
You're the one who convinced me to tell the truth. And I see now that you were right. I must tell the truth.
Admiral, we have to do something.
Yes, well, what can we do, Pete? Remember, she's not a prisoner.
But look, Admiral,
we've got to bring her to shore. And she's free to go.
You heard her story.
Yes.
Well, do you know what will happen when she tells it?
Yes. People will say, poor girl, she's undergone such a terrible ordeal. No wonder it affected her mind.
Judy! Judy!
Yes, Mama?
Do something about that confounded phone.
I can't, Mama. It'll just keep ringing.
Well, take the receiver off the hook or something. Oh, go away. We don't want any. Between that phone and that doorbell. Judy, look, fetch me a cup of tea.
Yes, Mama.
Whatever got into you all of a sudden? Why'd you tell him that crazy yarn?
It happens to be the truth, Mama. Don't you believe me?
No, I don't believe you. Even as a little girl, you used to make up stories.
Oh, please, Mama. I'm very tired. I'd like to get some rest.
Why should you be tired?
Please.
You haven't worked all week. This thing even cost you your job. What are we supposed to do? How are we going to live? How? Tell me how.
Oh, Mama, please, please don't please. Cry. Everything's going to be all right.
Why did you do it? Why did you tell that story?
You know why, Mama. I didn't want all those people to grieve.
You worried about all them people. But now, who's worried about you? Do they know you lost your job? That you're a prisoner in your own house? Do they? Do they care?
Please, please, Mama. I came back here to take care of you. I came back here because I was afraid you couldn't make it by yourself. I gave up everything for you.
Why did you ever give up for me? You were too shy to go out with boys, too timid to get a job which would make demands on you.
And why am I shy, Mama? Why am I timid? It's because of you. I had paradise, Mama. I had utopia in my hands. And I was too frightened to take it.
Ah, you're You're crazy. You were in the sun, in the water too long. Now look, you just lie down.
No, no, I won't. I want to go back. I want to go back, Mama. Go back to the city. Oh, please, Mama. I want to go back to my city.
No, don't cry. No, don't cry, baby. Everything's all right. Mama's going to make everything all right.
There's nothing further on Judy Roberts' disappearance. She left from the rest home in which she was staying early this evening.
Admiral, I think the police could find her if they checked out the local boatyards.
Is that so, Lieutenant?
Yes. Look, I would say she rented herself a boat, and she's gone out to look for her city again.
Yeah, there's a possibility.
Is there any way the Navy could be interested?
No, not officially, Lieutenant. You see, we can't search for anyone until after it's assumed they're on the water or in it. And then we have to be asked or ordered.
Yes, I was afraid of that.
Are you qualified in torpedo boats?
No, sir.
Well, if you want to log in some time...
Oh, yes, I understand, sir.
As a matter of fact, I might just come along for the ride.
Not a sign of her, sir.
I also ordered the air patrols to keep an unofficial eye out, but we don't even know if she's out here.
The boatyard people described her pretty well.
If she's this far out, she's in trouble if we don't find her. She can't have enough fuel to come back.
Admiral, she doesn't want to come back.
Well, if she doesn't, we really have no right to compel her. Of course, if she's out of fuel and food and water and in danger of sinking...
And ill, besides. Admiral, look, up ahead. Dead ahead. Is that a small boat?
Steady. Hold her steady. Yeah, that's good.
Look, that's her. There, she's lying on the bottom.
Hold steady there. Corman, we'll need some blankets and something hot to drink.
I'll go into the boat and get her.
All right, let's do it quickly, Pete. I don't like the shape of those clouds.
Hold that boat steady. Judy. To die.
No, let me go, please. I'm too tired to fight you. Put me down.
You're all right now, Judy. You'll be all right.
No, please let me go.
Go where? You're a couple of hundred miles from land. We're in the middle of a storm.
I'll jump overboard.
Oh, that's crazy.
Listen. Can you hear that? Do you hear it? That roar? That roar that I told you about. I heard it on the plane. We're falling. We're falling. Don't you feel it?
There's something wrong with the boat. We must have been swamped. We're being pulled down. I gotta get you up on deck. We gotta get out of here.
No. It's all right.
Come, we gotta get out.
We're only falling. Falling. You'll be all right. It's only a fantasy trip. Don't be afraid.
Welcome home. Welcome home again to all of you. And Ella, you're back, looking beautiful as always.
Yes, Aura. I'm back. I'm really back.
According to the papers and the broadcasts, a torpedo boat went down in a violent storm with all hands. It's true, the storm raged in the area of the Bermuda Triangle, but, well, what does that mean? Ships and planes have a habit of disappearing?
So do I. But only for a few moments. I, at least, shall return shortly.
Hi, this is Carol Burnett. Adolf Hitler came to power in 1933 and made life miserable for people in Germany. And that's why the International Rescue Committee, the IRC, was formed. It began by helping refugees from Hitler's Germany and went on to help millions more in World War II. But its work didn't end there because war and oppression didn't end there. You remember the brave Hungarians who stood up to the Russians in 1956? Well, IRC helped many who escaped. And since then, IRC has come to the aid of thousands who have escaped from Cuba, China, East Germany, Russia, or wherever freedom is pretty much of a meaningless word. It also does its work in countries ravaged by war. But IRC needs money for food, clothing, and medical care, to reunite families, to find people jobs, and homes for children without homes. So please, help the people who help. Send your money to this address, International Rescue Committee, Box 16, Times Square Station, New York City, New York, 10036.
The Bermuda Triangle. Fact or fiction? Myth or reality? Everything you've heard on our show, every way of accounting for it, or not accounting for it, has been the subject of lengthy debate. Is it the passage to another world? Some insist it is. Is it the playground of a superior race of men who amuse themselves with us mere mortals? There are those who believe it. Our cast included Mercedes McCambridge, Paul Hecht, Bryna Rayburn, and Robert Dryden. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
You're like an animal, always sniffing around. You're disgusting. You disgust me.
Give me those keys. I'm asking you for the last time.
I'm not going to give you any keys of mine so you can go sniffing around that lady doctor. No, sirree.
All right, I'll take a cab.
No, you won't. Won't take any cab. Not while I'm alive, you won't.
Get away from that door, Mother.
I'll stand here till hell freezes over before I let you go rushing off to that woman.
Mother, get away from
never,
the door.
Never, I'm never gonna let you be an animal anymore.
Mother! Stop it, damn it, you stop! Ah! You hear me, you stop it!
Kitty, let go! Kitty, you're choking me!
Oh, Lord, Mother, my... Oh, God, I'm sorry. I'm terribly sorry. My sorry.
Oh, Mother.
I'm sorry, Mother.
How could you?
This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
And beautiful music. This is KIXI, Seattle.
CBS News. New York officials and bankers continue work to avoid default by New York City. I'm Ann Crosman reporting on the CBS Radio Network. New York Governor Hugh Carey and state legislators meet again Sunday with bankers and financiers to draft a final plan to save the city from default, a plan they hope President Ford will approve. Mr. Ford consistently has refused to back federal aid to the city to prevent default. The planners got some encouragement Saturday from House Democratic leader Thomas Tip O'Neill, who came to the city to study the situation himself. O'Neill predicts Mr. Ford will change his mind and sign a bill providing federal loan guarantees for the city, because O'Neill says the bill also provides for a change in the bankruptcy law, which the president proposed. New York people also got some support from Democratic presidential hopeful Senator Henry Jackson. He says the federal government is inconsistent in whom it bails out.
The American people, resent when they can bail out the banks and bail out Lockheed and bail out other private areas of the private sector, including Penn Central, that will not do anything to avert a financial catastrophe, which it would be if there should be a default.
Senator Jackson spoke in Boston, where he was campaigning. Jackson had declined an invitation to attend a Democratic regional conference in Los Angeles. Four other presidential hopefuls called for full unemployment as one of the country's top goals. More news in a minute.
As new as this minute, Morley Safer's Journal on the CBS Radio Network. I'm Morley Safer, CBS News. And although I've resolved to keep a journal for many years, I've never managed to do so until now. Each Sunday, I report on a topic of interest from wherever I happen to be on assignment for CBS News. I hope you'll join me and share my Sunday entries in Morley Safer's Journal on most of these CBS Radio Network stations.
Larry T. has just been released from prison. He wants to be given a new chance, but he needs our help. The God we worship expects us to work with Larry T. or anyone else who needs our time, our understanding. During our country's 200th birthday, join with others at your local church or synagogue and make plans and sacrifices to help relieve suffering. Welcome God to America's bicentennial. Practice what you pray. A message from Religion in American Life, the Ad Council, and the station.
Morocco's King Hassan is expected to tell his people Sunday on a nationwide broadcast about a new development in the Spanish Sahara issue. The king ordered Moroccan civilians to cross into the territory to claim it for Morocco. Spanish troops are there watching the Moroccans, but taking no action. But Algerian-backed rebels called Polisarios, fighting for Sahara independence, are clashing with Moroccan troops in another part of the territory. As we hear from BBC reporter Christopher Morris.
Helicopters are reported to have landed a battalion of Moroccan troops well inside the northeastern sector of the Sahara, near to the Algerian frontier. This is many miles away from the area where the 350,000 Moroccan marchers are still massing in their attempts to seize the Spanish colony peacefully. Three of the helicopters are said to have been shot down, and the Polisarios claim that their units have now trapped and surrounded in the remote desert region the main force of infiltrators, some 700 men. Some have already surrendered, over 100 others said to have been taken prisoner. The Polisarios say the aim of the Moroccan advance was to cut off their lines with Algeria. Although Morocco has denied the Polisario claims, Spanish military spokesmen confirmed that border clashes have taken place with casualties on both sides.
BBC reporter Christopher Morris in the Spanish Sahara. More news in a minute.
Come on over for a drink.
What is a drink? Where is it written that a drink is not a drink unless it contains a slug of alcohol? Isn't lemonade a drink?
Aren't you drinking?
Isn't coffee fruit juice? Tea, water, soft drinks, are those non-drinks?
Let's get together for a drink.
Is it so uncool to drink something that can't change your perception of reality?
Let me buy you a drink.
The strange idea that only drinks containing alcohol are real drinks is so built into our society, it has actually become part of our language.
I'll drink to that.
And maybe that's part of our national drinking problem. What is a drink? Think about it. This message is brought to you as a public service by this station and the National Institute on Alcohol Abuse and Alcoholism.
Would you like a drink?
I wonder what he meant by that.
Despite earlier reports of fighting among army units in Dhaka, the capital of Bangladesh, that city is now quiet and things are normal, according to an American embassy official whom we spoke to. He does say, however, there are indications of internal problems within the military. The army chief, who was ousted on Monday, was returned to office on Friday with even more power. Three American nuns who were expelled by Chile's military government have arrived in New York under safe conduct arranged by the American ambassador to Chile. The three were accused of hiding left-wing guerrillas, including the nephew of the late President Allende, who was ousted in 1973. I'm Ann Crosman, CBS News.